They're going to have a great time. There's a lot of them back there, so. Some of you parents are like, whew. And some of you are like, man, I want to keep them in here. So. Well, good to have you today. We're going to talk about just something God has just been working on my heart with. And I know that it's going to speak to you. And I'm just trusting him that he'll move in your hearts as we open up his word today. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to also I'm going to pray for our graduates again. They just three of them graduated this weekend, and then I also want to let's do that. We recognized them a few weeks ago, and I just want to congratulate them in their new life and their new steps in life. And so, and also want to lift up a couple of people. Is Gary Cooper here today? Did he make it? He did not make it. Okay. Well, Gary had a stroke several weeks back, and he's been recouping. He was hoping to be able to make it today, so we're going to lift him up. And then Kimberly Seifert had back surgery the other day, and we're going to do the same for her. So let's do that. Father, we give you all the thanks. Thank you for bringing us here today, Lord. We come with eager anticipation as we open your word to hear from you and to hear what you have to say. I lift up Gary to you, Lord. Pray for comfort, encouragement, and recovery. And I pray the same for Kimberly as she's recovering from back surgery. Lord, be with her. And open our eyes today as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm starting a new series today called Made for More, and I'm going to share with you a little story. I read a story, this is several weeks ago, of a doorman. His name is Mike. He's a Christian who works in upscale apartment building in Manhattan. And so here's this Christian guy, right, working in an upscale apartment building in Manhattan. And it's really, it's an extraordinary story because it's a beautiful picture of a wonderful man. He studied, he took his job very seriously. He's there early in the morning as a doorman, and he stays late for his work day. He studies the different needs of the people, their likes and their dislikes. He studies their children and the things that they enjoy, and he meets needs, and he gives gifts, and it was just a fantastic story, and it fits so well with this message. But he was named the number one doorman of Manhattan. I don't know where or who gives out those awards, but he was named the number one doorman in Manhattan. He's also the highest paid doorman in all the city because the apartment owners all agreed to pay him more in their monthly dues in order to increase his salary to take care of his family. The families say that their day is not quite the same when Mike is off of work because to him, there's no job that's beneath him. There's no person who is less valuable than any other. And Mike says, I serve people as though I'm serving God, and I treat them like my family. And Mike found purpose in a job that would, to many of us, might seem menial in so many ways, but he found joy and purpose and contentment and a place to use his gifts. He is a shining example of Christ and experiencing the blessings and the rewards of pouring himself into his giftings and the things that God has called him to do. And I'm going to continue to use this story of Mike in the weeks ahead because he's a special guy and he's using the things that God has blessed him with to bring praise to the Lord. But you know, the important point that Mike discovered here. God has a purpose behind everything that he does. I mean, he has a purpose for the trees. He has a purpose for the sun and the moon and the stars. He has a purpose for the creatures that he makes on this earth. He has a purpose for the oxygen. You know, I was looking at a banana the other day and just how amazing that is. It was almost like it was made to fit in our hand, right? And then you peel it open, it's got this protective coating that can preserve it for about a week or so. We eat a lot of bananas at our house, and so we wish they would last a little longer, but we're just an impatient people. But you know, they have this protective skin, and they're almost made to fit in our hand. God has made all these amazing things with purpose and meaning. And here's the question: why wouldn't he make you with purpose and meaning? And what I'm going to share with you in the next few weeks, it could change your perspective on your life. It could change your perspective of other people and their giftings and the things that they do. It could change your understanding of the world that we function in. And I'll be honest, it could possibly change your life. I know it has changed me in many different ways over the past 6 weeks as I've been preparing for this. But let me warn you. And let me give you this warning. The Bible tells us that man's greatest sin is that we want to be God, right? And we want to be in control, and we want to do things our way. And we're that person that says sometimes, you know, this is my life, and I can do with it what I want to do. So let me warn you. That is sin, and that will get in the way between you and what God has for you. And that is what always gets in the way between you and what God has for you. It's sin. It's the world. It is the sin in the world. It is the enemy, the devil. It is our flesh that is weak. And so we have all these things sort of working against us. And it's frustrating, and it's why we see such an uprise in depression and school violence and anxiety and all these various medications. People are trying to medicate themselves out of their problems and out of their emptiness. And there's this emptiness that only God can fill. And here's the wonderful thing is, as we understand our clear purpose, part of that emptiness begins to get filled. See, he fills all of it, but as we understand why we're here, why God has us here, where we're going, what is our destiny, what is our meaning and our purpose, do I have value? When we start to answer those questions, as God starts to answer those questions, he starts to fill the void. And we ultimately come to understand that we're made for so much more than what we're living. So we have to be willing to confront and dispel some of the myths that our world tells us, that society tells us about who we are, about what we're created for, or how we've kind of come about, I should say. And listen to this in Acts chapter 13. Verse 36, it says this: Now when David, this is talking, referring back to King David in the Old Testament, but it says, Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his ancestors, and his body decayed. See, you have a purpose for being here, and you have an assignment while you're here. But you also have an expiration date. This is not all that there is. There is a beginning point, and there will be an end point. For some of us, it's shorter than others. But I was thinking this morning, you know, how would I want to go? And, you know, I want to go out of this world and say that I live with purpose and meaning. And that I knew exactly why God created me and what he has called me to. And I'm getting there. I'm not completely there, all right? I'm getting there. But don't you want to do that? Don't you want to get to the end of your life, however it ends, okay? Some of us, I mean, I could end up dying in a nursing home, but how I want to die, I want to be eaten by a lion or something like that. I want something really cool to happen, all right? I don't think my wife necessarily wants that to happen to me, but I want something really cool to happen to me. I want God to use me for a purpose, however the lion fits into that. But but when it's over, if you have placed your trust in Christ, you will be with the Lord when your time is up here, and you'll spend eternity with him. But during this time, you have an assignment, and he has made you for so much more. This morning, we will take a look at our Bibles, and we're going to look at God's word and what God's word says, what his plan says, what his letter to us says, and we will gain a greater understanding of our purpose and why we are here. And there's three important things I want us to look at. These are three extremely simple but utterly profound things, and we've got to go back to the basics because we get so polluted by the world's perspective and by our presupposition, by what we think things are supposed to be and the experiences and the different things that we've understood about this world and all these other voices that come into our minds telling us and teaching us of who we are. So we got to go back to the beginning, the book of Genesis. If you'll turn with me, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. But here's number one of these three simple things, these utterly profound yet simple points that we must come to grip with. And number one is we are human. And this is basic, right? But it's important in finding your purpose. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So the Bible makes it clear here in Genesis that man is created in the image of God. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about an image. What is an image used for? Think about a statue. Why we would erect a statue. I think there's one in Granbury. But why would we erect a statue? I mean, what's the point of setting up an image or a statue of someone in your city or your town? Images are erected to display the original, right? To put on display the original, the person they are imaging, right? So an image or a statue points to someone famous, right? So that we will think of that person and honor that person. So images, they glorify the original. That's what images do. And listen, one's glory is one's nature. Let me explain what that means. So when we look at the American flag, we call it old glory, right? Or when we think about, when we look at a beautiful sunset, we say that the sunset is glorious, right? So what that is made of and what that represents is its glory. Do you remember the old saying, "I want to be like Mike" from, I remember my pastor, Pastor Chet from my previous church, he used to share this story about Mike, about Michael Jordan. And there was this saying that Nike had back in the 80s and 90s, "I want to be like Mike." And so what kids would do is they would put shoes on, these Air Jordans, and they would dress like Mike, and they would shave all their hair off like Mike, and they just wanted to be like Mike. Why? Is because they so aspired to hold him up. He was this image that they aspired to be like. They took all of the qualities that they knew about him, and they just wanted to be like him, okay? What they were doing is they were bringing glory to Mike. Probably not a good idea, right? The Bible says not to make graven images, right? But so I want you to understand that we are created in God's image, right? We are created in God's image. And in the image of God, he created him, male and female. So images glorify the original. Images glorify the original, so our purpose is to glorify him. And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says this, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Do it all for his glory. Human beings are created in his image. They're designed to reflect his glory, his goodness, and his wonder. And that's what human beings are created for, the Bible tells us. So God always has a purpose behind everything that he does. And not only are we human, but number two, you'll see this on the screen, we are male, female. You're either a male or a female. So then he takes these human beings that have purpose, and that purpose is that he has created us in his image, and our purpose as human beings is to highlight and bring praise and glory to God. That is our purpose, all right, according to the Bible. And so then he takes these human beings and he divides them into two separate sexes, a male and a female. So look what he says here in verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And we continue in verse 8. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" So God created humans. Then God divided them into two types, male and female, and these two variations of humans, these two separate sexes, were intended to play two separate roles, right? Two separate roles. They have purpose. And I want you to get this, all right? There is a purpose in their roles, and it's a different purpose. They have two separate purposes. And that is part of their, our purpose of these two separate genders is to be matched together. That's one of the purposes, is that these two would come together. That's part of their intended purpose. Now, just as a side note, let me mention this. The Bible speaks of people who are called to celibacy or singleness. And there are also several women in the Bible that are barren, and that struggled in having children. So just know that there are unique callings and there are unique struggles that we will all have. But that does not surprise God, and that does not change God's plan for you. But here is the reality, is one of the clear purposes that God put human beings, men and women, and separated them into men and women, is that they would come together. And look what it says here, "Be fruitful and multiply." So reproduction would not be possible unless a man or a woman were matched together. That's a purpose, and God has a purpose, and he makes it clear here. And you would not be on this earth, right, if a male and a female didn't come together. I will assure you, you would not be on this earth today, all right? So in chapter 2 of Genesis, it also says this, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So now they're divided. Then God says, "You're made differently. You have two different roles, but I will bring you together and you will multiply and you'll leave your father and mother and you'll cleave to each other. And the two of you will become one." There's a purpose there, and that's marriage, right? That's marriage. We see this affirmed in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5. It is affirmed. And so God's purpose is that man and woman would leave and cleave and become one, and that they would multiply and fill the earth, it says, and subdue it and have dominion over all the creatures. It goes on. And this is part of God's plan, is his creation. And it gives us a clear understanding of what his purpose is. These are very general, right? Human purpose, man's purpose, woman's purpose, okay? But as you're trying to discover what your purpose is on earth, I want you to start at the foundation and go, I am created in God's image to glorify God, to bring attention to him, to bring glory to him. That is my intended purpose. If I keep that as my intended purpose, I'm going to find some peace in my life, okay? Number two, I am a male, right? Right? Okay, I am a male. Some of you are females, okay? A man cannot have children, right? A male cannot bear children. Only a female can bear children. So obviously there's some distinctions there, and there's some roles and there's purposes of each of them. I have to stay in my wheelhouse and go, I am a man. And I have to read God's word. And look, there's a lot more to this, but I have to read God's word and say, this is what God has called a man to be. And I will hold true to his word of what he says a man is, because what he says is true, and I'm going to hold to that. And I'm going to hold, and the woman says, I'm going to hold to what God says a woman is, not what the world says, not what society says, not what culture says. Why? Because I want to live with purpose. I'm a human who lives intentionally with God's purpose, and I am a man or I am a woman. I see my role. I understand that God has intended me, that if I'm intended to marry, I am to come together with that person to multiply, fill the earth, and have dominion over this earth. That's my calling. That's my purpose. And so we go on. And he says, he says for us to fill the earth. And it's important that we understand that men and women, they have equal value in God's eyes, but they have different roles and they have different callings. And the role of men and the role of women are divinely designed to complement each other. They don't fight each other. They complement each other. They come together and they work together because they're meant to be together. They complement each other. The male has unique masculine qualities. The female has unique feminine qualities. And to deny these qualities will only frustrate you, right? And distract you from your purpose. When you deny these qualities, when you deny this purpose. But if there's a God, and I believe there is, or I wouldn't be standing up here in front of you today. And maybe today you're saying, I don't know if there's a God. Look, if we are made by fluke, if something happened out there by random chance, and there was no creator, it's just some cells and different things, who knows how they got there, okay? And they were just floating around. They sort of came together, exploded one day, created all the planets, and then here we are. If we're just created by fluke, Let me just reiterate this, because I say this all the time. If we are created by fluke, there is no purpose for your life, no purpose. You are no more valuable than a flea, right? If there's no purpose and there's no meaning in life, you're only inventing what you do on this earth. And what happens when people just invent things? Well, They say things like, hey, if a woman says, I want to be a man, she can be a man, right? And if a man says, I want to be a woman, he can be a man. If I want to say, hey, I'm 65 years old, it's time for me to draw retirement. I can say this in some parts of the country, I guess. But listen, there is a God, and he has a purpose for you. And to deny that and to resist that will only frustrate you and will only keep you empty. And hence the issues of our day. It goes back to creation and it goes back to purpose. And this is why you see such emptiness and such frustration, such disappointment in life. People are so distracted from their intended purpose. They say that there's purpose, but they fight against God, who's the only one who can tell them that they have purpose. No matter how hard man may try, he cannot bear children. And no matter how hard a woman may try, she cannot be a man. God has a plan and a purpose behind everything that he does. And we have a responsibility to know what that is and remain faithful to it. And to remain faithful to it. So, with all that said, we must know our human purpose. We must know our purpose as a man and a woman. And number three, this is the last one. We are unique. We are unique. Turn over to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This is a psalm written by King David. And it's a very personal one. He expresses his awe that God knew him. He's in wonder that God would know him, that God would create him, that God put him together. And look what it says here, verse 13. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. So we see here in verse 13, David says, you formed me. And I want you to know that all scripture is God-breathed. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is God-breathed. It is written by human writers, but it's breathed out of the mouth of God. And we can hold it, and we can see this, and we can read this, and as David is speaking this, we can understand a truth about God. Number one, look at this. In verse 13, you formed me. God formed you. He says, you knitted me together in verse 13. You made me, verse 14 and 15. You intricately wove me together, verse 15. You saw my unformed substance, and my days are planned. This term, wonderfully made, it's a Hebrew word. It's a pale, and it means to be distinct, to be marked out, to be separated, to be distinguished. So God knew you distinctly. And He distinctly made you, he marked you out, he separated you, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's why abortion is wrong. That's why abortion is wrong. Because God knows you in your womb. And those of you who have gone through abortion, listen, there's healing, and there's God's grace, and you will be loved. And you will not be cast out. But today, I believe that God wants you to come to the understanding that all life is valuable. That is not a flea, right? That is a human life. And God knit that child together in his mother's womb. So each person is special to God. And he has a plan and a purpose for each one of them. And no matter what your history, think about this. No matter what your condition, next week I'm going to have some friends of mine come, and their daughter has Down syndrome. And they're going to talk about how God planted that child in their house and completely transformed their entire family. Why? Because God uses people. There's no person who lacks value in God's eyes. Amen? So no matter your birth parents, no matter who they are, no matter what the circumstances surrounding your birth was, you're not an accident. God intended you. And some of you are here and you're tragically and painfully stuck because you're stuck at this issue with birth parents. And you might be thinking you are a mistake, but God wants to deliver you from that lie. And he wants to take you to new places and for you to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made by him, by him. And he has a calling on your life. because it can mess up your life. It can mess up how you live, and it can mess up how you love. And he wants you to know that. And David says here, God, your hands formed and shaped me. And he was saying, I'm handcrafted. I'm not a mistake. God created every detail, even the stuff you don't like, right? Even the stuff you don't like. Man. You can search the entire world and you'll never find another person like you. There are billions and billions of people on this earth, but only you have a unique thumbprint, and only you have a unique retinal, right? Only you have a unique footprint. Only you have a unique you, a unique personality, a blend of these talents and giftings. It's only you. And all those things, and if you're like me, you want to beat yourself up over all of the weak areas and all the lack and all the things that you do that fall short. But God says, I can use that. Stop focusing on all that. I made you unique. You're not going to be like every other person. You are unique, and I made you that way. And the reality is that most people, they don't accept themselves the way that God created them. And most people spend all their days comparing and competing instead of accepting what God did and how he made them. And so they pour all their energy on comparing themselves to others and competing against each other and trying to shape themselves to be like everyone else. And that's destructive. And that's distracting, right? And all it will do is send you off course. And so let's get this straight. You are human and you have a purpose. And that purpose is to bring glory to God, to live to bring glory to God, right? Number two, you're a male or a female. And there's a purpose for you being a man or you being a woman. Get into that wheelhouse, right? Get into and understand that I am a man and there's purposes behind how I'm supposed to live. As a man, as a husband, as a father, as a man of God. And I'm going to operate in that. And I'm going to live in that. And then there's the unique you. And you can get distracted off of that too. And you can start focusing on all your weaknesses. Here's what I do. I have all these weak areas in my life, a whole lot of them, right? And there's a lot of things that just absolutely drive me crazy about myself. And so I sit there and I revisit those things. And as I've looked back at my life, I found that I've given more energy to my weaknesses, trying to fix them. Do you follow me? Trying to fix the weaknesses and trying to build myself up in those areas, utterly neglecting the giftings. All right? Y'all need to hear this. Y'all need to get delivered from this like I do. Okay? Utterly neglecting the giftings and the things that God has blessed me with. I pour all myself into the weak areas, comparing and competing and longing to be like everyone else instead of accepting the unique me that God has created. Paul says, and Chad read this earlier, we are his, speaking of God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know who he's speaking there to? To believers, to those who have a relationship with Christ, who have put their trust in Christ. God has given you unique abilities and talents, a uniqueness, and qualities that he intends to use. And it's so easy for you to get frustrated when you're listening to the world. And get frustrated when you're focusing on your weaknesses. Get frustrated if you don't know who you are as a man and you don't know who you are as a woman. And get frustrated if you don't know your intended purpose as a human being. And get frustrated at everything in this world. And what we intend to do here at Bear Creek is to feed your uniqueness. and helped you to understand who you are in Christ. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God has given you these talents and these abilities, and if you think your talents are simply for you to make money or retire or die, you've missed the point of your life. God is not done yet with you yet. If you are here today, no matter what age you are, no matter what your situation, no matter what your struggle is, maybe you have, you know, a physical struggle, maybe you have just some things that have kept you stuck for a long time, no matter, God can use you. If you're still alive, he can use you. He intends to use you. But it's all about aligning ourselves with his word. Amen? I mean, what happens is this. We become, try to become, and we compare, and we try to compete with the world, and we keep ourselves so focused on other people. I've got to dress like them. I've got to look like them. You know, curly hair people always want to straighten their hair. Straight hair people always want to curl their hair. You know the whole deal. My wife's got naturally curly hair, and so she's going to probably stop straightening her hair now that I said that. But most people start off as originals, and they end up as carbon copies. And they're frustrated because they're trying to be something that they are not intended to be because they don't have the courage to align themselves with God's word. It's going to take courage, y'all. It is so easy to go with the flow out there, to walk out of these doors today and just go with the flow and go with what society and culture continues to press in on you on. And look, it's going to take courage. And it takes courage to live out God's word. It's not just an easy beliefism where we just say, God, come into my life, and then we continue to live like we've always lived. We align our lives with him. Why? It's not only for our own good, but it's for his glory. And look, he will light a fire in you, and he will change your life forever. And that's what he intends to do. That is what he intends to do. Grounded in the truth. Look, if you want to live outside of God's will and come back here and tell me, hey, I'm just living what you said, Scott, because you were saying that I'm just supposed to live the unique me and this is who I am. You don't know who you are. You don't know who you are until you align yourself with who God says you are. And then it's the most wonderful place you've ever been. How do I know that? Because I'm living it. And I'm experiencing it, and I can line this stage up with people who are experiencing it. You think you know who you are, and you think you know how to get there. Really, only God does. You are living in darkness. And I say, come out of the darkness and step into his marvelous light. Amen? John 15:16, Jesus says to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You see, Mike, the doorman, people begin to flock him and protect him. And they said, you know what? Let's up Mike's salary. We got to keep him here. And the days were not quite the same without Mike at the door. Why? It's because he was operating in his wheelhouse. He knew who he was, what he was called to do. He was zeroed in on his craft. He knew his season of life. He knew where he was. He knew his intended purpose. And all people couldn't help but turn and look at Mike. Why? Because he was drawing all the attention to God the Father as a doorman. I'm going to show you this slide as we close. It's going to come up. That's it. I want you to be able to say at the end of this message series, I am God's workmanship, and he made me, he formed me, and he gave me purpose and meaning. John Piper, he says, your work is to take what God has made and shape it and use it to make him look great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Every person in this room is valuable to you, and every person in this room is valuable to us. I pray that today's message encouraged hearts and gave us all a wake-up call that life is short and we have an assignment. And tomorrow can be a brighter day. Give us hope. Give us life. We know that we can only find that life in you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. In Christ's name, amen.